Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. It will be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a lot of education, but no manipulation. That's right. No hidden agendas, no con game, no requests for money. We are not trying to sell you anything. This show is simply about giving accurate information. Not useless human speculation, but accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If you're able to do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want, and pray that you will. But the Flotline, F-L-O-T, stands for the Forward Line of Troops. What we teach here are the 10 unique problem-solving devices that you can learn, the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ operated under while he was here on this planet. And if you learn these problem-solving devices, it's obvious that you will be able to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. Therefore, adversity is always inevitable, but stress is perfectly optional. We do not have to have stress. We can avoid that by using these 10 unique problem-solving devices that we teach on the Flatline every Sunday. If you don't know what they are, we'll redo them and go over them again and again and again, but you can always write for the book Christian Problem Solving. There it lists all 10 of those unique problem-solving devices. Age-old biblical doctrines is nothing new. And if you haven't got one of those books, write to us. Don't have to send any money. We're not asking for that. But you can simply write to Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, in the big city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100. In the big city of Cropwell, Alabama, 35054 is our zip code, 35054. And we will send you one of these books, Christian Problem Solving. And it deals with those 10 unique problem-solving devices. And as we, from time to time, go back through them, review them, and you'll be prepared, and hopefully you'll use them in your life. Our Lord Jesus Christ said happiness comes from those people who not only hear my Father's word, but people that also keep what they hear. And that's what momentum is. Momentum in the Christian life is hearing and keeping the word of God. Why do you want momentum? Because you want to move from being a Christian baby to being a Christian adult. You want to grow up and become a mature believer, where you can glorify God to the max. And so that's why it's imperative that you obey the mandates. For example, grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are two mandates there, to grow, study, learn. Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me. You can't learn if you don't study, and you can't grow if you don't learn. Therefore, the need to listen to a pastor, a qualified pastor who can teach you God's word, word that you can understand, words that you can apply and use in your life. And hopefully, I'm just a breath of fresh air. Hopefully, I'm like opening a window and you're seeing now what's really out there, and that you can access God's word, and you can grow in grace, and you can be the person that God intended for you to be. Today I want to talk to you about a simple word. It's the word Father. Father. F-A-T-H-E-R. Father. Many of you may know what it's like to grow up without a father. As a boy, you really have no one to play ball with, no one to teach critical thinking skills, no one to share problem-solving skills with you. Without a father, a child misses a lot of development. And that's not to say the child cannot turn out to be a great American, but it's much harder. Listen to this poem by Jacqueline M. Smith. All those times I cried for you, you never came. Out of all the sports I played, you never showed up at one game. All of the awards I received, I never heard you clap. You were never there for me to sit on your lap. All the times I fell and scratched my knee, you weren't the one who was there to comfort me. All those times I was bored and wanted someone to call, you still weren't there, not there at all. I always tried to make you proud, hoping you would love me more, but you never seemed to care. So what did I even do it for? You weren't there for any of my first, maybe not for any of my last. It's like you're not here in the present, just not like you were there in my past. I try to move on, but no one knows how hard it is for your father not to love you as much as he loved his other kids. But I hold my head high to keep things from looking so bad. But deep down, I still wish I had love from my dad. Yes, sometimes a father can be in the house and not love a child. And sometimes a father can be absent from the house and not love a child. You know, a father protects and provides and preserves family history. It's critical. It's the divine institution of family. God ordained it. God set it up. One man, one woman, a family, and they grow children and introduce children into this world. You know, I have the best father anyone could have, and so do you. It's God the Father. And it's important to note that God the Father is a spirit. Neither male nor female, because the male gender is never used to describe him. Listen to John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God the Father is a spirit. In the past few years, there's been a desire to remove the male gender of God. God the Father, by certain feminine theologians, and they reject this masculine image and demand that the evangelical world accommodate their concerns in an attempt to be inclusive. The answer is what our Lord said in a model prayer in Luke. In Luke 11, verses 2 through 4, you know it as the Lord's Prayer, but it was a model prayer. It was not designed to be repeated every day. It was a model prayer designed to show the disciples how they should pray, because one of the disciples had noticed Jesus praying and came and asked him, would he teach them how to pray? And he said unto them, verse 2, Luke 11, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Surely, if Jesus Christ could call him Father, then we are encouraged to do exactly the same thing. And notice the prayer is directed to the Father. The Bible does not authorize us to pray to Jesus, although a lot of people do that. They pray to Jesus. The Bible authorizes us to pray to God the Father. In the name of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. There is one God, He's the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. Also in Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Yes, that's right. God the Father lives in you if you are a believer. He lives in you. You are the temple. You are the tabernacle, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6. He lives in you. Now think about your earthly father for a minute. Some of my closest friends have had tremendous earthly fathers, men who were used by God in mighty ways. And that certainly presents its own challenges to a son or a daughter, because they can see the spiritual impact of their dad, they can also see the human side as well. In my own family, I have four children, three daughters and a son. And my travels have taken me away from them many times. Most of the time while they were growing up, I was gone 20 to 25 weeks a year. Thus, I missed many hours with my own children. So I can thank God so much for a faithful, strong mother who can sustain the family even in the dad's absence. But here is the truth. No earthly father could ever love you as much as your heavenly Father loves you. Men, whether they're in the ministry or not, are flawed with old sin natures. Thus, even their love can be conditional. If a father is a Christian and he understands problem-solving device number 7, you may know that as impersonal love for others. It's the great problem-solving device, impersonal love for others. So if a father is a Christian, he understands that, then he may have an even keel in spite of your failures. But if he's not a believer, then his emotions may wreck a relationship as he puts unreasonable demands on the child. Therefore, the Bible has a warning to fathers, a very stern warning. And Paul wrote about it in Ephesians 6. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. We spoke about this verse on one of our recent radio shows. The word nurture is nousia in the Greek New Testament, and it means to train by putting something in the nous or the mind. And the word admonition is paideia, and that means to train by putting something on the rear end. You know, someone once said, I'm trying to think how that poem went. It says, life is a choice. We have two choices. It's heads we win and tails we lose. Something like that. Do you remember that? Here's what it is. There's a time for discipline, and there's a time for training. And it's very critical. But an abusive father, an alcoholic or a mean-spirited father, a drug-dependent father or a pedophile, he could make life miserable for his child. But through it all, thank goodness, as believers, we have a heavenly Father who loves us. He protects us. He nourishes us, those of us that are believers, in His Son, Jesus. You know, without Jesus Christ, you don't have any connection to God the Father. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. The only way to have a life with the Father is to come through the Son. Listen to Luke 10, 21 and 22. In that same hour, He, that's Jesus, rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, and He said these words, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. The only way you can come to know the Father is through the revealing will of Jesus Christ, His Son. Does Christ want you to know His Father? Yes. In John 1:12, but as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You can have a relationship with the God of the universe. He can be your spiritual father, but only through Jesus Christ. You don't need to have an identity crisis. Much of the world today has an identity crisis as they seek to discover who they are, but they look in all the wrong places. They do all the wrong things. When if they would just simply come to God, through Christ, they would find who, in fact, they are. They are royalty. They are royal family of God, created for God. Remember that. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but born of God. That's what happens when you believe in Jesus Christ. You're born again. You have a new life. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Listen to Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. And because of this, we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are now the children of God. Are you a child of God? Have you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross? Do you have an identity crisis? Come to Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. Learn who you are in God. You will never look back. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, listen carefully. All honor to God and to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is His boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members of God's own family. Now we live in the hope of eternal life because Christ rose again from the dead. We are members of God's own family. That is called the royal family of God. Our Father is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's royalty, and thus we are as well. You live in what's called the church age. You don't live in the Old Testament, you live in the New Testament, the church age. There are plenty of things in the Old Testament that have application to you. I'm not telling you don't read the Old Testament. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're not under the Old Testament covenant. You're under a new covenant. You are members of God's royal family. That's the church age. That's every believer in the family, everyone. Regardless of his antecedents, background, race, classification, etc., all distinctions are erased at the point of believing in Christ and being reconciled with God. So whatever you were before, you are now a member of God's royal family, and it's permanent. Permanent royalty that will last forever. Your royalty is eternal, it's secure, and it's related to simply regeneration, being born again. So this means that all church-age believers are in full-time royal service for Jesus Christ. As a royal priest, as a royal ambassador, we are royal representatives of our Father, the King. As a royal family related to the King, we've got a royal honor code. You and I are born into a spiritual aristocracy, and we have standards that we're supposed to live by. It's called the honor code, and it's the Christian's way of life. Listen to some of it here in Ephesians 4:22. Listen, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. Do not grieve the Spirit. Therefore put away lying, and let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor what? nor hold a grudge, nor seek revenge, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, and let him that labors working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, so that it could impart grace to the ones that hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. And then finally, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the honor code. That's how you live. It demands that you live under establishment principles, and they go much further than morality. They go much further. We are established by means of the Word of God and by means of the power, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes our Father has to give us a little discipline. Sometimes we misbehave, and He has to take us to the woodshed. And so you'll find in Hebrews 12 these words: therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, we're being observed, we're being watched, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Or consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, lest you be discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortations which speaks to you as to sons. My son, this is from your Father, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son that he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not a son. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. That's our earthly fathers. But he, our heavenly Father, for our profit, so that we may be partakers of his holiness. God's discipline comes in three ways: warning discipline, intense discipline, dying discipline. Did you hear that when it said we've had earthly fathers that corrected us and we paid them respect? Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, he that hates the reproof of God shall die. It is possible for you to go home early when, because of discipline, instead of responding, you react. Instead of growing in grace, you reject, and you allow your sin nature to control your life. Even in the spite of the discipline, you can get angry towards God. And in that instance, God may just take you home. Well, you'll have eternal life, and you'll be in heaven, but you'll be minus rewards. So think about that. If God is our Father, he will discipline us. Did you know you have a family you haven't met yet? Other believers are your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Our Lord demonstrated that when his own family members came to fetch him and remove him from the crowd. He had been speaking and teaching, and the Pharisees were having a heart attack. They were going bananas. Jesus had done things that they did not approve of. They had accused him of being demonic, and his family came to take him away. Listen, I mean, they wanted to get him out of there. Maybe they thought, son, what are you doing? You're stirring up trouble. And so they came, and Matthew 12:46-50, you can hear it. While he was still talking to the multitudes, his mother and his brother stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one of them said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to talk with you. And he answered and said to the one who told him this, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples, and he said, here are my mother, and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. This does not mean you should run around calling everybody brother, but it does mean you have a royal family, a family you may not have met yet. And I admit some of them may be a bit weird, and some of them may be great, but they are your brothers and your sisters in Christ, and they are part of the royal family of God. So have you learned this today? You have a new father, a heavenly father, who loves you more than any earthly father could have ever loved you, who sees everything you go through, everything you endure, and he provides a way out. According to 1 Corinthians 10:13, he always does. He sustains you. He provides for you. He blesses you. You are never alone. Your earthly father may abandon you like mine did me, but I have a much better father. I have God the Father, who loves me in spite of my weaknesses, who loves me in spite of my failures, who continues to grace me out when I fail, like he will do with you and like he does for you. We should thank God. He is our Father. He loves us. He sent his Son to pay for our sin. And we have an eternal relationship with him through Christ our Lord. I hope you've learned something today, and I hope you'll be back next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.